And now, The Low Post.
Welcome to The Low Post Podcast, live from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where we are thrilled to be joined by a slightly under the weather, but coming off a win, Brook Lopez, the new center of the Milwaukee Bucks. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm hanging in. I'm glad to be in Milwaukee. I got to see the arena for the first time tomorrow, and you get to play against Anthony Davis, which I'm sure is a great time.
Just as much of a treat. Just as much.
So let's go let's keep this quick and go some rapid fire. Your brother had just a patented crazy eyes Robin Lopez ejection last night in Oklahoma City. Have you talked to him since then? Do you give him any counsel? He has one of these a year at least. Do you offer him any counsel? Do you review the tape to see how you rate his performance? What did you think of it?
I didn't know about this stuff. My teammates were telling me about it after I saw the film. And I watched the film a few times. I'm rarely, if ever, on his side. I don't know. He lost it last night, and I think he deserves everything he gets coming to him.
He really has he looks like he gets taken over by a trance. His eyes really go crazy. And boy, you got to give it up for Jim Boylan, who's putting them through 3-hour practices and, you know, suicides. At least he got in the fray last night. That was strong work from a coach. I don't know if Bud is doing that if you guys get in a brawl this year.
Right. Well, I don't know if Bud's doing it for me in particular. I think Bud might let someone take a shot at me before he got in there.
Do you have my wife is a twin, and she believes in twin sensory perception. When Robin is about to go Incredible Hulk, does your spine start tingling? Do you sense that something is amiss?
It's sort of like spider sense or something like that. Spidey
yeah.
sense.
Yeah.
You know what? I didn't sense anything last night, honestly. I feel like normally I get some sort of idea, but that one completely blindsided me last night.
He was fantastic. So you played for the Lakers last year, and now you play for the Bucks. What's always been interesting to me, and what I really wanted to ask you about, was the moment LeBron signed with the Lakers, and they also had like no centers for a minute until they signed JaVale McGee, and now they've obviously got Tyson Chandler. There was this idea that, well, okay, the Lakers need a center, they need some size, and they need 3-point shooting because any team with LeBron needs a lot of 3-point shooting around him. And I was like, well, they just had a guy who kind of combines both of those things. So I'm curious from your perspective, like, were you surprised that they didn't come after you harder, or maybe they did and you just decided, I mean, it's kind of a circus there with LeBron in Los Angeles. It's like a perfect storm of drama. Did you just not want any part of it? What was your perspective on the move from LA to Milwaukee?
Well, I was a little surprised. It just didn't end up working out. You know, it kind of went in one direction pretty quickly, and from that point, you know, I was looking at other options.
Would you have wanted to play there, or do you prefer this? It's obviously you have a great team. I think a better team than the Lakers, but it's a quieter. Mm-hmm. It's quieter here. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, I would have wanted to play there, but you know, that being said, I'm happy that this worked out the way it did, because it's the best situation possible, you know, even comparable to playing there this season, you know, far and away that this season in Milwaukee has gone so well, and just the group we have here, the players, the staff, and the opportunity to do some big things, it's such a great situation to be in.
So what's the first meeting with the team, like, I don't know who you met, if it was John Horst or Bud, or I don't even remember what the exact timetable of Bud's hiring was. He was definitely hired by then. Like, threes. You're shooting 7 threes a game. Do they talk? Was it a phone call on July 1st? Was it an in-person meeting? And do they tell you right away, hey, man, this is what we're going to do. You're going to come here and you're going to park yourself either in the corner or 28 feet away, and you're just going to shoot with impunity anytime you want.
We had a phone call first, then we had dinner in Summer League, and actually Don Maker was there as well. But we talked about the system and everything, and it was some stuff I'd done with Kenny Atkinson in Brooklyn before. But like you said, at the rate I'm shooting now, that wasn't something we talked about. It's just the way it's worked out playing in the system, and it's been good for everyone.
You like it? I mean, is there any part of you that's like, I always wonder this with like the 7-footers. Is there any part of you that's like secretly ashamed, like you've betrayed the legacy of big post up centers to shoot all these threes, or is it just fun?
It's very different for me. You know what I mean? Like, just looking at the transition, pretty much, like, just how rarely I post up now. Like, everything I'm really trying to do is just sort of guard, forward movement, stuff like that with this 5-out offense. You know, not even just shooting the ball, but the way I'm cutting, moving without the ball and everything, it's really like I'm playing a guard or forward position.
Yeah, you used to post up like a lot. That's what you did. You were quite good at it.
Predominantly, yeah.
Do you miss it?
I mean, things are going so well here. It's hard to say I miss it. You know, it's something I absolutely still have in my game, but the way our system's running right now offensively, it's not really predicated on giving post-ups. You know, it's predicated on spacing the floor and giving people opportunity to attack. So, not really right now, no.
I mean, you're still averaging 12 a game. You're taking 7 threes a game. And so you're getting shots up. I mean, you're getting, you'll shoot an occasional off the dribble, like sidestep kind of three. You'll shoot like a Ryan Anderson 29-footer because I guess Bud wants you to stand that far behind the arc. I mean, are you surprised by the sort of adventurousness of some of the threes you get to shoot?
I think that's just, not confidence comes from the support I have from my coaches and teammates. You know, they just tell me to keep shooting the ball, keep letting it fly if I get a good look. And, you know, that their confidence really does a lot for me when I'm out on the floor.
Didn't you have one game where you were like 0 for 10 or 1 for 12? Or I'm going to look at your game. Wasn't there one crazy game like that?
Yeah. Against Phoenix, I was 0 for 12.
So as that's happening, is there any part of you that looks to Bud and is like, yo, can I stop? Can I get like a jump hook? Or is he going to, or do you think your head is like, okay, have I reached the upper limit of like how many threes I'm allowed to miss? Is there a conversation that happens when you're like 0 for 9 in the middle of a game like that?
No, there was never any conversation, really. You know, it was from Bud, Giannis, our coach Ben Sullivan, Eric Bledsoe, just shoot the ball, let it fly, keep shooting the ball every time I miss, which was, you know, obviously it felt good for me, you know, knowing that they have that sort of confidence in me. And then in the very next game we played against San Antonio at home, Bud drew up the first play for me for a wing three-pointer.
Okay, that's nice. Did you make it?
I did make it. So, you know, that felt pretty good.
Do you like the nickname Space Mountain? I don't know who gave you the nickname Space Mountain or if you gave it to yourself. Do you like it?
It's actually Splash Mountain. And,
It's Splash Mountain? It says Space Mountain. On your basketball reference, I mixed my mountains really? Up. No, it's Splash Mountain. You're right.
Yeah, Splash Mountain. Yeah. John Henson actually found it on Twitter. I don't know who the user was on Twitter that put it up, but John Henson retweeted it, got it going. And I mean, I'm a big, huge Disney nerd, so I'm all for it, obviously.
Okay. All right. I feel like we can do better, but if you're all for it, I guess that's all that really matters.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I'll give it to you. It's like a B, but if you like it, then we can accept the B. Did you know Giannis at all? Did you know Giannis at all before you came here?
Not super well, honestly. I just kind of knew him as competitors, and you know, getting to know him and seeing him play his game, it just really, really impressed me.
What has surprised you about him? Forget the basketball skills, maybe. What has surprised you about him as a teammate or like just a human being?
I think with Giannis, he's just genuinely the nicest, best human being / teammate possible. It's jarring, you know, considering the kinds of people you know that you get in this league. I mean, Giannis is just absolutely one of the best people I've ever been around in the league.
that good? Like, how does that come through day to day?
I mean, he's just the way he holds himself off the court isn't the way, you know, I think you just perceive like a NBA superstar, you know, or the best player in the league to hold himself. He just kind of treats himself like another, you know, another person, another everyday person, just going through doing his thing. And it's really refreshing, honestly. You know, he's just such a great person.
What is the rudest Giannis dunk of the whole year? What is the one where you were like, I almost kind of feel bad for it? He got your brother, actually. Now I'm saying this. Didn't he get Robin pretty bad?
He did. Now I enjoyed that. I mean, that was just thrilling for me. And the best part about that one was that I got to be on the court actually witnessing it. And to be a part of that, there's something special.
That was one of the ones where he dunks from a standstill under the rim with like authority. Those are the meanest ones. I feel bad for who's ever on the receiving end of that.
It's insane because there's nothing the other person can do about it. He just goes down, gathers himself, and then it's over.
Has he ever dunked on you before you signed here?
Not before I signed here. Probably the first week within a pickup in open gym. Absolutely.
He got you. Okay. Besides the one on your brother, any other rude Giannis plays that stand out?
The Kufis one sticks out to me immediately.
I vaguely remember that. I'm going to YouTube this. Yeah, he has like 8 dunks a game.
Yeah, it's something just absolutely ridiculous. I remember that one specifically just because I set the pick. And then I remember starting the roll, but his head of steam was so ridiculous. He was just far beyond me. And then Kupis tried to pick him up, and yeah, it went the way it went.
Yeah. Ooh, Kufis falls. He kind of dunks on Kufis's back, and he falls out of bounds and hits the stanchion. That's a bad one. I don't know if you really started to roll. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm watching this now. I don't think you get below the three-point line. I don't know if that – yeah, 1 foot gets below the three-point line, but then you stop and just watch.
That's how quick he got to the basket.
People, now through December 25th, 23andMe DNA kits are on sale. 23andMe helps you understand what your DNA can tell you about you and your family story. It's named for the 23 pairs of chromosomes. Of course, we all remember our ninth grade biology that make up our DNA. A 23andMe DNA kit is a great gift for anyone you love. There's never been a better way to give the gift of genetic discovery to your parents, your siblings, your aunts, your grandparents, everyone else on your list. It's easy to do. You simply spit into the tube provided in your 23andMe kit, which is not as disgusting as it sounds. Register your sample to your personal 23andMe account, and in a few weeks, bam, you receive your personal online reports. With 23andMe's Ancestry Composition Report, you can explore where your DNA is from 150 and more regions worldwide. Learn how your genes play a role in everything from your well-being to your lifestyle choices to what kind of food you like. Do your arms and legs twitch while you're sleeping, for instance? With 23andMe's Sleep Movement Report, you can discover how your genetics may be influencing how much you move your arms and legs during your sleep. I have never been curious about that, but now I kind of am. You can explore the genetics behind your appearance, your senses. If you hear a musical note, can you sing it back? I certainly cannot. While matching pitch comes naturally for some, it's also impossible for others like me. Genetics can play a role in your ability to do that, and you can find out how. Now through December 25th, get 30% off any 23andMe DNA kit. Order your kit at 23andme.com/low, L-O-W-E, my last name, the name of this podcast. That's the number 23and, 23andme.com/low, L-O-W-E. Okay, you're relatively new to the Bucks, but you spent many years with one of the more woebegone franchises in all of sports, New Jersey, and then Brooklyn Nets, and you lived through a lot of fun Nets things. So you want to do some rapid-fire Nets memories?
Why not?
You, I think, have been the number one backer to the point that you have actually somehow acquired apparel of the Nets celebrating their aborted move to become the Swamp Dragons many, many years ago, which I wrote a big story about. And I think they should have Swamp Dragons Night, where they wear the Swamp Dragons jerseys and publicize this, but they're not going to do that. But you, are you with me? Like, they should own this.
I remember reading the article. I loved the article, and I'm 100% with you. They absolutely need to go for it and own that. I think it's fantastic. I think it's such a great one of those 90s looks up there with the, you know, the Grizzlies and the Raptors. It's absolutely something they should take advantage of.
I think it would have looked silly had they actually changed their name to that, but the fact that they got close to doing it and the manner in which they ended up not doing it is so perfectly Nets that they should at least, but you have a shirt. You have at least a shirt, right?
Yeah, our equipment guy, Joe Cuomo, he made me a shirt after the article came out. We talked about it. We read through the whole thing. He was kind enough to make me a couple shirts with the logo on it. It is very Nets the way it went down, how it got all the way. I didn't realize it got that far until I read the article. It got all the way down to the vote, and then the deciding vote that said no was a Net vote.
Yeah, the Nets voted against their own name change, which it just, you just can't get it. It's the perfect, it's too good of an ending. I feel like I'd need one. I need to get one of those shirts somehow as another Swamp Dragon.
Well, I mean, we eventually, there has to be merchandise for it. We can actually, we have to get a throwback night, like with the court and the jerseys and everything, and even a mascot maybe. I know they're kind of off mascots in Brooklyn right now, but with a Swamp Dragon mascot too.
Yeah. I mean, what is their mask? The Brooklyn Knight did not work out. I don't want to besmirch the Brooklyn Knight any further. It just didn't work. I don't know if they have anything else in the ether. I think you actually shared a couple. You think they should have one, right? Don't you have ideas for one? I can't remember exactly what it
was. I did. I was actually, you know, I talked to Sarah Kustak and we talked about, we did want to do a mascot at one point. I think, I'm a mascot guy. I like teams having mascots. I think it brings a lot to the game. It's a lot of energy, but they wanted to go the way, I guess traditional. I don't know, of not having a mascot.
Almost every team has a mascot. In fact, you played for one of the only teams last year that does not have one, and now you have signed with a team that has one of the more popular mascots. I assume that factored into your decision, right? You couldn't bear
Bingo. I mean, yeah. I think Bango's got to be tops in the league. I mean, I'm biased, obviously, but if he's not just tops, he's probably top three. He's up there, no question.
My sister knows nothing about basketball at all. And today, you know, whenever I travel, I just email my family so that they know where I am. So I emailed them. And I said, hey, everyone, I just landed in Milwaukee. And within 3 minutes, my sister, who, again, knows nothing about basketball, she might know, she knows LeBron. That's about it. She emailed me back, hey, say hi to Bango. Maybe give Bango a pet for me. And I was like, how the hell do you know? Bango
no
must be
way.
Huge. Yeah, she knows Bango.
That's big time then.
Is he still jumping off the big ladder? Has he done that this year?
I haven't seen the big ladder yet. But he's been doing everything else, all his other typical stuff. The motorcycle, the backwards half-court shots, all that other stuff. I've seen that.
All right, so it sounds like your relationship with mascots has gone to a warmer place. I don't know what Robin's current relationship. I mean, obviously Robin went on a destruction tour of all the mascots. You participated in at least one or two beatdowns.
I did.
But it
I
seems
did
like
see
you've,
them in the ring one or two times.
You've turned the corner, though?
I have. You know, Robin's relationship with mascots, it's always going to be frosty at best. But I've turned the corner a little bit. And I have to say that I was in Cleveland probably 2 years ago, and Moondog gave me some Moondog apparel, tried to get me on the mascot side and away from this whole Lopez brother thing. And it was a pretty successful way of swaying me, honestly.
Moondog is very sweet. Moondog gave me a little stuffed Moondog to give to my daughter, which is still in our house. It's not in the top 20 of her favorite stuffed animals, unfortunately, but the gesture was nice.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. How did you find out you were traded to the Lakers?
I was actually in Brooklyn and we were going through workouts for that week. Like, they wanted me out there for the week to be there with the young guys to help them work out. And then they just called me one night after those workouts.
And that's it?
Yeah, that's all. And, like, I could tell, because you could tell just by the way they were talking, their tone of voice, right when I picked up, I got the gist of it immediately.
Because you were forever, you were like the net who would not be traded. Like, you were in trade rumors every year, and every year you remained a net. You were probably, I'm not even being sarcastic. Like, I think you were proud of that. Like, you took pride in playing for the Nets and, like, you know, being a net. And did you think that you would be a net for life, maybe?
I did. You know, I took a lot of pride in that, and it was a goal of mine at the time. You know, I wanted to be one of the guys on the team that, you know, when things turned around and when the franchise became something, I wanted to be there, and I wanted to help be one of the reasons for that.
Speaking of turning around the franchise, where were you, or what do you remember about when the Nets traded for Pearson, Garnett, and Jason Terry? Like, where were you, and what was your initial reaction? All of it, because that's a landmark moment in NBA history.
It is. It absolutely is. I was asleep on my couch in Jersey, and my phone just started blowing up, absolutely going crazy. I woke up like I was in a daze, obviously, like still waking up, and I like read it, and it was almost like a dream. I was like, "You guys just traded for Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Jason Terry," and I was like, "What?" Like, this can't be legit. And I was like, wow, this is wild. It was really surreal, but I was super excited too, obviously.
I remember when that happened, people said, well, KG is going to be good for Brook, because Brook is, you know, kind of easygoing. And I do think you've kind of been unfairly characterized as because of the way you and Robin are, you know, easygoing, maybe not the kind of guy who's going to come eat your heart out on the court, and like KG is going to help bring that out of Brook. Like, that was a line of thinking that you heard. What was it? Mm-hmm. What was it like to be around KG? Was there any? Was it? I mean, I don't know if you have any crazy KG stories, but he's such an all time character. Like, did it live up to the? Did it live up to the hype? Basically,
man. I wouldn't trade away my time being KG's teammate for anything, just because it was such a great learning experience for me. I learned so much from him in the time he was with us. Just how he approached the game, how he approached practice, the kind of teammate he was, and just his professionalism in general, as well as his tenacity and mindset on the court and everything like that. He was such a great player to be able to sit back and watch and learn from.
And he was nice to you? Like, he wasn't like a psycho?
Oh, no. He's absolutely best teammate as well. Absolutely.
Were you on the floor when Jay Kidd did the soda cup thing?
I was. I don't remember exactly where I was, but I remember. It was Tyshawn Taylor, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I was.
So how did he admit to you guys in the locker room that he had done it on purpose and it was all just a trick to get an extra time out or whatever it was? Or did he try to pretend even to you guys that it was like an accident?
I think everyone knew in the locker room.
Do you have a copy? Like, I want it to be framed, but do you have a copy of the Who Wants a Piece of Them Nets Sports Illustrated cover of the starting five from that team?
I do, actually. You know, and I want to get mine signed. Every, like, you know, obviously when you first get into a city and you drive to your hotel and you got the fans out there waiting for autographs, a lot of those guys have that cover, you know, still, and they're trying to get it signed. And actually, when we were just in Detroit, I was the last signature they needed on that cover. And I absolutely need to get that done with my version, absolutely.
Wait, what was the last signature you needed? Oh, that, wait, yours was.
My signature was the last signature the guy needed for his cover.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
It was just a random fan. You need to do that.
Yeah, I still need five other signatures. I only have mine on there.
I mean, I'm not going to lie, that cover is like more humorous than than anything else, given how it turned out, but it's still a cool cover. Your second season in the league was a wild NBA season, even by wild NBA season standards. Your team finished 12-70. Lawrence Frank was fired after an 0-16 start to the season. Tom Barese coached the team for two games, and it went 0-2. His career record as head coach is 0-2. And then Kiki Vandeweghe took over for the rest of the season. Okay, here's some secret Nets stories. True or false? And you have to tell the truth. Let's say during that season, a practitioner of alternative medicine came into your locker room to either for you or for the whole team to try and sort of exorcise the demons in the locker room. And there may have been like some sort of needle acupuncture thing involved. I don't know the specifics of it.
That might be true.
Well, why can't we, can we talk about it? That's an all, someone told me that. And I was like, that is an all timer. I've never heard that before.
I didn't do any acupuncture or anything, but we definitely did a lot of like spiritual treatment, a lot of mental stuff, just trying to get out from under that funk.
Okay, I heard it was a little wackier than that, but perhaps I've been misinformed.
It was interesting.
Were you in the locker room? I don't know that this story's ever been told, so I'm going to put you on the spot. Were you in the locker room when Devin Harris and Tom Barese got into an altercation?
I was in the locker room when that happened.
So again, Tom Barese goes 0-2 as head coach, and he has a fight too. Was it like a fight, or was it just like at halftime everyone's angry?
It was more in the latter category of what you were saying. Just people talking to each other the way we talk to each other in the NBA. Someone might have been held back a little, or both guys might have been held back a little. Guys were jawing at one another, but no one ever swung on one another.
What a team. That's your second year in the league. I just can't imagine what it is like to live. What are you, 20 when that year happens? I mean, do you just put your head down? I mean, you started. You're a full-time starter. Do you just put your head down and get through the season? Was there anyone on that team that you sort of formed a bond with that in the misery of that lasted for a lot of years? Like, how do you get through a season like that?
I just try to stay professional, come in, get my work in, and try to perform on court. We had some good guys on that team. We had some really good guys. Courtney Lee, Chris Quinn. Both come to mind immediately, just professional guys, super talented guys who came in, got their work in, worked on their craft, and who've gone to do things in this league,
Oh, yeah.
And it was tough, but, you just had to do what you could and control what you could control to get through it.
Yeah, I'm looking at that roster. Chairman Yi is on that team. And now I'm looking at this. Boy, you lived through the Chris Humphries, Kim Kardashian thing, didn't you? You saw that up close.
I did. I went to the wedding.
Did you really?
I did. I got invited.
Where was the wedding? L.A.?
It was in L.A., yeah.
It must have been a good wedding. Who's at your table at the wedding?
It was pretty fun. There were, a lot of Nets staff, some coaches at my table, but it was a lot of fun. It was a good wedding.
Sounds like you got a bummer of a table. Probably some better tables there.
Well, we mingled. There wasn't a lot of sitting.
What's the most ridiculous thing that happened at that wedding? Did anyone like come? Did anyone like propel from the ceiling? Was anyone naked at any time? Did anyone fall into like a body of water that was in the venue? Did anything like that happen?
I know there was a noise complaint, but I think I think Wolfgang Puck made the cake for that wedding. I think it was Wolfgang Puck. If not him, it was a very famous chef. And I'm pretty sure no one had a piece of the cake because everyone was just on the dance floor or around doing stuff, which I think is absolutely insane. I know I didn't try the cake.
So that cake just sat there?
Yeah, I don't think anyone had Wolfgang's cake.
Who was the most famous person at the wedding that you really wanted to talk to, but you didn't talk to?
Ooh, I really wanted to talk to, but didn't talk to. I talked to Serena Williams. That was a big one. I had to work up the courage to talk to Serena.
She was nice.
Earth, Wind, and Fire was there, and I didn't get a chance to talk to them.
Okay, that's not bad. It's hard in those situations because you're on a plane of equals, but yet this person means something to you, and you don't mean the same thing to them, and so you're not conversing as equals. It's just hard to bridge that gap in that kind of social situation.
It is, and I'm like, for me, I just let my like fanboys spill out immediately. Like, I don't try to hide it at all. So maybe that makes them feel uncomfortable or something. So yeah, I don't really know if I handle it exactly the right way.
So if you're like that in general, what's your worst ever? Like, what's the one where you went straight Chris Farley show with somebody? Yeah, I don't know if you know that skit from SNL, but just when you stammer
absolutely
out.
Do. Absolutely.
Yeah. What's the most regrettable encounter?
I know there's one that comes to mind immediately, and it's super embarrassing. It was super embarrassing for Robin and I. Hopefully the person enjoyed it though. So Robin and I are huge Disney fans, right? And one day we'd like to do something creative in Disney, like Imagineering or make movies or whatever. But we were fortunate enough to get invited to the grand opening of the Shanghai Disney Resort, 2 years ago now, in 2016. And so we were there, and we got to go, like, the 2 days before it opened for like the cast sort of previews and everything. And so we were going through the park, doing all the rides, like their Pirates of the Caribbean, going through their Fantasyland stuff. And then we went to Tomorrowland. They had this Tron roller coaster they built out there. They're actually adding the Magic Kingdom. And I don't know, how much do you know about Disney stuff? Should I keep it pretty basic or?
No, get into it. I mean, there's a knowledge gap, admittedly. Like, I went to Disney. I saw the relevant movies as a kid, and now there's been a little bit of a gap. And I have a 3.5-year-old daughter. When she starts getting into it, that gap will get filled in.
Yeah. Okay. Well, do you know who Bob Iger is? The CEO of Disney?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Great. Okay. That's important to the story. So, Robin and I decided for the Tron roller coaster, we're like, all right, we're going to the gift shop and we're getting like the Tron, you know, like their identity discs. So we each get an identity disc, right? And then we get like a t-shirt and a hat and we throw them on and go on the roller coaster. And we're like juiced because we're some of the first people ever doing this. And we go back around and do like two more times. So after the third time, we're like running out of the exit. It's me, Robin, and his girlfriend. And we're like stoked. And I'm like, we're messing around with identity discs and stuff, and we get to the bottom of, like, the X ramp, all the way to the bottom and outside the attraction. And, like, we just kind of stop in front of this person, and it's Bob Iger. And so we're like, oh, my goodness. We must look so ridiculous right now. We're just trying to be as professional as possible at this point. I'm like, hey, Mr. Iger, how's it going? I'm a Brooke Lopez, a huge fan. And for some reason, I figured this was a good time to tell him that I'd love to take a meeting at some point. I'd love to schedule a meeting with him. So hopefully at least he got that I enjoyed something that he helped create.
Has the meeting happened yet?
No, it hasn't happened yet. I just saw Mr. Iger again in my Clipper game this year. He was courtside, so I got to see him then before the game. So
there you go.
So things are okay. No worries.
The wheels are in motion for this meeting. He is a big basketball fan. I'm sure you did not have to introduce himself. I know he's a big fan.
That's what actually his son helps me work out in the summer sometimes. When I get some shots up, he'll rebound. Yeah, his son's a big basketball fan as well. And so I know he has a great relationship. Bob Iger has a great relationship with Chris Paul.
Yes, he was featured in Chris Paul's free agency documentary series a couple summers ago when he ended up getting traded to the Rockets. Two more quick ones and I'll let you go. Who is the person that is just a nightmare to guard that for you that people wouldn't necessarily think of as a nightmare to guard? Like, you know, DeMarcus Cousins, we know. Anthony Davis, we know. Who's someone you see on the schedule and are like, oh, man, people, that guy is just a pain in the ass?
Oh, man. I don't even know if I should say. He's not in the league anymore, but my first few years, he used to drive me crazy. And I don't even know if I should say this.
He's not in the league, so it's safe now. He's not coming back, maybe.
Andrea Bargnani used to give me fits for a while.
Well, that's not an answer that I expected, Brooke. I'm going to be honest with you.
And he would give young Brooke, he'd either knock down his jumper or give me a show and go or something like that. Absolutely drove me crazy for first few games.
Well, young Brooke should have been able to give it back to him on the other end at least.
Oh, well, yeah, he did do that. He did do that. I thought we were talking strictly. Okay.
No, okay. No, we were. That's a good one though. Yeah. I don't even know where he is now. I don't even know where
I'm
he
not
is.
Sure either, yeah. Honestly.
Last one. How have you guys verbalized goals for the season? Like, do you guys talk about, hey, we could reach the finals? Do you, like, do you think about how good your team can be? Like, how good do you think your team can be, and what do you actually verbalize amongst each other?
You know, I don't think we've actually verbalized anything, but I think the belief and expectation is no question there in the locker room. You know, I think we expect to be the best team, and, you know, at the end of the season, obviously, we want to be playing in the finals and winning in the finals. You know, we think we're the best team in the Eastern Conference, no question. We just have to go and improve it night in and night out.
Well, you got a tough test tomorrow at the Fiserv Forum, or however I'm supposed to pronounce that. I look forward to seeing it. And we'll talk more Swamp Dragons at the game tomorrow. But, Brooke, get a nap in, feel better. You got Anthony Davis tomorrow, so, you know, that's going to be fun.
All right, appreciate it.
The Low Post is presented by Goodyear. Discover the possibilities. Goodyear, more driven.